Amen. All right. Well, thank God for holy relationships, right? And for family and for blessings. Thank God for new beginnings. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you have your Bible, would you join me as we make our confession here together? I invite those of you joining online to join us as well. And let's just make our confession in the Lord together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The message this morning, in the time that we have here, I'd like to emphasize simply this, based on these words, God increases what I plant and water. God increases what I plant and water. And through these verses here, we see a couple of different needs and the different plantings and waterings and what the increase is of each one. The first one here is the increase in salvation as the good news goes forth, the gospel. And if you have a bulletin on the back side here, you see down at the bottom under the lines for notes, there's a section that says, ask, would you like to know God and be forgiven? And it says bad news, good news, and then my response. That's the gospel literally means good news. And that verse 5 says, who are we but ministers who simply share the word, ministers who through whom you believed? So salvation is completely by God's grace alone. God's grace alone. We can't earn it, deserve it. It has nothing to do with our effort or merit or goodness at all. It's all God, but he has chosen to use us in his plan, and we are to share the good news. We are to plant and water because we love and we care and because we've been forgiven. So I really believe this. I believe it's easy to take the good news for granted if we don't really know the bad news. The bad news is that we have all sinned and offended a holy God. And it's not like a big set of scales in heaven where one day we get to weigh our good deeds and our bads. Jesus said in John 3:18, we're already condemned. He didn't condemn us, sin condemned us. He came to save us. And so thank God that even though God is holy, God is also love. And when we could not be forgiven, when we could not get to God on our own, he came to us, as that song, he brought heaven down. Thank God. And Jesus bore the curse of our sins when he suffered and died on the cross so that we could live in the blessings of our true Heavenly Father. He bore the curse so that we could receive the blessing. That's good news. And thank God. Then everyone believes something anyway. But we must believe the right one and the truth. And when we do, it doesn't matter how young or old we are, when we come to that place of God's Spirit drawing us to believe in Jesus as Lord, and we call on him, he forgives our sin, and we are made righteous by God. His Holy Spirit indwells us. He lives with us in life, and we get to be with him forever. Thank God for the good news. But then once we are saved, once we are in Christ, then we are responsible to do God's will and grow in Christ's likeness. And that's what the context also says here in 1 Corinthians 3. Would you drop back to verse 1? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 begins like this. And I, brethren, so he's speaking to Christians. I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. What does carnal mean? Let's keep reading. I think it will explain. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. He's talking about spiritually now, okay? For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? They were believers, but they were acting like unbelievers. He said, you're acting like just people who don't have God's Holy Spirit within you. And he said, I know you've come to faith, you've come to Jesus, but you haven't grown. So we are responsible then to grow, and we grow by planting and watering and getting to know the Lord better. If you drop down to verses 8 and 9, still right here, we'll stay in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. He says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. Now, I'm not saying that God just, needs us, but God has chosen to include us in the expansion of his will and his kingdom. And we can't just take the attitude that says, well, if God wants to save him, he'll save him. If God wants to heal them, or if God wants to do this. No, we are workers together. We're laborers together. We partner. We get to partner with God. Think about that. And so we plant and water, and God gives the increase. Would you say God increases what I plant and water? God increases what I plant and water. Amen. If you want to just write this scripture down, in fact, if you turn back to the book of Romans, I'll join you there in a moment. Romans chapter 10, just right before 1 Corinthians there, Romans chapter 10. And last week I shared a message just simply called God Gives the Increase. And I really wanted to share the root, the main stream from which all godly increase flows is our increase in the knowledge of God. And there's a prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. But right in the middle of that prayer in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says that he makes the prayer. I'll just go ahead and might just walk through it here, okay? He says, I pray that you would have the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you can walk or live worthy of the Lord and be fully pleasing him, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in your knowledge of God. Well, if we want to know God, if I want to know anyone better, what do we have to do? We got to give a little time. We've got to put forth some effort, right? Well, it's the same thing with God. If we put forth the effort and give the time to get to know God, then we will increase in our knowledge of God, and then all the good that comes with it will come along. So it's not just, well, I want God to give me a favor because I want, maybe someone's trying to, have education, further education. And I want to have favor in a scholarship so I can pay for my education. That's good. That can be used for the Lord. I'm just simply saying, will you seek God first? Will you seek to increase in your knowledge of God? And as you get to know him better, then God can supply that need. He can meet a maybe favor for a job promotion, healing, whatever it is. They all can be good, but the mainstream is that I'm not just coming to get something out of God while I need something. I'm coming for God to have God, and when I have God, he's my source for all that I need in time and eternity. So God increases what I plant and water. And today I'd like to just share quickly two important areas that I believe we can increase in, or that God will increase for us as we plant and water. And then next week, just share two more. But two important areas. The first one is faith, that we increase in the knowledge of God, and out of knowing him better, that we would increase in Christ's likeness, which means we increase in faith. So to increase, first of all, in faith, and then the second one in just a little bit, to increase in love. And let me read a few verses here for you. If you're right there in Romans, I'll join you in just a moment. Let me read a few verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We can put these on the screen. The Bible says this, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Would you say that with me? Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, we do please Him. Our faith in God pleases Him. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So we need faith in God to have victory. And this scripture here says it's by our faith in God that inspires us to endure tribulation and persecution and the hard times that we go through. So you say, well, how does faith increase? Faith is believing, and I'm talking about scriptural faith now, all right? Faith is believing and acting on God's word. It's believing and doing God's word. So let's go back to salvation. I hear the gospel. I know I've sinned. I need to be saved. I believe in my heart. And then the corresponding obedience is I call on the Lord in faith. It's believing and doing God's word. That's what faith is scripturally. The entire chapter of Hebrews 11 gives an example. By faith, Abraham left his home. By faith, Abraham or Noah built an ark. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. All along, by faith they did. It wasn't just they believed and acted. Now, at times when the Lord led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, you know what he told them? He said, stand still. Sometimes it takes faith to just be still. Oh, y'all, amen. Sometimes it takes faith to stop and rest. Lord, help me. So to grow, but how do we water that? How do we water faith in God? Well, if faith is believing and acting on God's word, then first of all, in fact, let's look at Romans chapter 10. Did I ask you to which chapter or mention which chapter? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One translation says listening. I like that, and I'm not bashing the word hearing, but I know it's possible to hear something audibly, but not really listen. How many of y'all remember Peanuts? Y'all remember Charlie Brown? Remember when they were on the phone? We heard noise, right? But we couldn't make it out. How many times do we hear audibly, but we're not really listening? We're not really giving God our focus and our attention to receive it. So faith comes by listening. Faith comes by receiving. It's not just, well, I heard that. Well, that's good. You heard it. Did you receive it? We got to receive the truth in order for our faith to grow. But see, when we do that, then it's like eating and we're getting that good nutrition. Paul said, I couldn't give you milk because y'all hadn't grown to that point yet. I'm still giving you just the simple basics, and that's fine. We got to start there, but we're not to stop there. We're to build on the basics so that we grow spiritually and I can handle some meat of the word as we follow the Lord. So I'm taking the word of God in, I'm hearing it, so it's building up my faith, so I've got what I need. But then when my faith is tested, then I do what it says because I've got the nutrition. I'm not anemic spiritually, and as I do, my faith grows. It's like a muscle. You want to make your, let's say you want to make your legs stronger because you want to have good stability and you don't want to fall. We've got to take in some, you know, protein and so forth, something to give you the nutrition, but then you've got to give a little stress, not to break the muscle, but to strengthen the muscle. And the Lord knows exactly what we need. That's why it says there, hey, we boast of you because you're going through persecution and tribulation, but instead of it wiping you out, you let it draw you closer to God. You receive the word, and your faith and your love grew and abounded. Increasing. Because they planted and watered, God gave the increase in more faith and more love. They got to know the Lord better. Would you, if you're still there in Romans, would you turn to chapter 4? Romans chapter 4, And so we hear the word of God, and then we have this example from Abraham in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, and we read that Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. How? Giving glory to God. So as he exercised he gave glory to God, then the Bible says in verse 21, and being fully convinced, not halfway, being fully convinced that what God had promised him in his word, God was able to perform. So he was convinced, he believed, but then because he believed, he gave glory to God before the answer came and his faith was strengthened, the Bible says. God increases what I plant and water. God increases what I plant and water. Would you say that with me? God increases what I plant and water. One more scripture reference on this, if you want to just write it down, in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and then we'll look at love. Faith and love. On one occasion, Jesus was in a little boat with his disciples. And I'll be honest with you, when we went to the Holy Land years ago, as we talked about earlier in the service, they actually recovered a boat, and they can tell by how it was made. It's called the Jesus boat. You can see it. And that thing's like a little John boat. It's, when it talks about Jesus, you know, like falling asleep, he was down in the, I'm thinking, we got a little something, well, you know, it was not luxury. It was for fishing. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, let me read this, verse 24. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, the Bible says that suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're dying, we're perishing. Can you relate to the disciples when one of life's storms seems to hit you out of nowhere? It says, suddenly this storm came up. And it came upon them, and they thought, we're going to die here. What are we going to do? And the Bible says this in verse 26, Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And I don't think he was attacking them, putting them down. He was just saying, your faith is small. And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Did you catch that question? Who can this be? Now, if you would have asked the disciples before they got in the boat, hey, do you know Jesus? What do you think they would have said? Of course we know him. But do you see how the more we increase in our knowledge of God, the more faith we have in his word? Who can this be? You've got a little faith. So we increase in our knowledge of God, and the more faith we have in his word, the more faith we have in his great love for us. He already said, go to the other side. He's not going to let us die. This boat can't go down. And the more faith we have in his unlimited power, but it all comes back to getting to know him better. Increasing in our knowledge of God, and then he increases our faith as we plant and water, hearing God's word and doing what it says. And then second, he increases our faith. Increase our faith. And the scripture is there. You can just stay in Romans. We'll close there in a little bit. But 1 Thessalonians, let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says this, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Would you join me as we read that verse together? If you just read off the screen here, we'll be on the same translation. Again, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Ready? And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. And then he goes on in verse 13 and he says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. with all his saints. One very practical expression of our faith in God is love. I'm talking about God's love. You know, it takes faith in God to receive his unconditional love for us. It takes faith in God to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It takes faith in God to love others as we love ourselves. And the Lord knows it takes faith in God, not feelings, to love our enemies. It takes faith in God to love our enemies, to love those who can get on our nerves. But see, when we are born again, when we do come to know the Lord, his Holy Spirit indwells us, and God is love, so he brings his love in with him. So we can choose to love with all of our hearts. And this scripture says here, it says, may the Lord make you increase. You know, their love grew. They were going through persecution and tribulation and very difficult times. And you know what I've seen? Our love can increase and grow through hard times. If we're submitted to the Lord and committed, that we can actually not just grow in faith, our love can increase. Man, and we go through the storms, but if we weather it together, we can come out on the other side stronger, more Christ-like, and closer to one another if we would do it the right way. And so we increase in our faith by watering and planting. We hear the word and we do it. We put it into practice. You say, how do we plant and water love? By staying in close fellowship with the one who is love. He produces, he gives the increase. And so we stay in close fellowship with him through prayer, through worship, through receiving his word, through fellowship with one another. And we love because we are loved. God increases what I plant and water. I will be honest with you. When I was hearing this, my emotions and memories were fighting me. Because I know not everyone is sweet as y'all. And I'll just say it this way. Some people can seem to be difficult to love. And so I was like, Lord, help me. But see, that's why it's by faith. But see, if we will do what God tells us to do, then our love will increase. And I began to think about this. You know, I've talked to our daughter before at times. You know, maybe there's a situation at work. And just somebody, you know, it's like just can be a frustrating. Somebody gets on your nerves a little bit. And I'm not just talking about that. But let's be honest, some people can just be mean and evil and rude and sinful. And when something happens and maybe we, for whatever reason, you know, address or deal with someone like that or around someone like that, I told her, I said, you know, they're revealing something about themselves. They're revealing something about their heart, not necessarily you. And how they may be venting and coming at you, but it's revealing more about them than you maybe. Because we all need the Lord. And so to increase in love is that I've got to be love. God's love opposes sin. Let's make sure there's no mistake about that. God's love speaks truth, the truth of his word. But God's love genuinely cares and wants what is best for the one loved. And you know what's best for every one of us? God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. That's what's best. So they can get our nerves, they can make us mad, upset us, but we can genuinely still care about them. We care about their soul, and we want God's will in their life. That's love. That's the love of God that came to reach us and die on a cross while we were still sinners. Thank God for his love. It reminded me of testimony of a country preacher years ago by the name of David Wilkerson out in Pennsylvania, those rural areas. And he read on, Newsweek or some time magazine, about gangs fighting over in New York and how, you know, one was killed. And the Lord called him, this He called a skinny country preacher to go to the big city of Brooklyn and reach the gangs and the drug addicts and so forth. There's a book and a movie called The Cross and the Switchblade that speaks about this testimony. And as a matter of fact, a few months ago, we had Pastor Victor Torres here. David Wilkerson led a man, a young man. He was called the warlord of the Mau Maus in Brooklyn. His name's Nicky Cruz. He led him to the Lord. Nicky Cruz led Victor Torres to the Lord. But when David Wilkerson went to the city there and he went to them, on one occasion, because Nicky Cruz was just filled, his mom had dedicated him to the devil when he was little. And he was just filled with rage and violence. That's what I'm saying. It was something going on in him. But David Wilkerson just kept reaching out to him. And Nicky Cruz told him one day, he took his knife and he said, "I'm going to cut you in 1,000 pieces and spread you all over the streets of this city." And David Wilkerson said, "And if you do, every peace is going to still be crying out, 'God loves you.'" No. I don't think he had ever had that response from any of the other gangs before. But God used that to melt his heart, draw him to Jesus, and Nicky Cruz has a worldwide ministry now of leading people to the Lord. Thank God. And seeing the fruit of Pastor Victor Torres and all of those others, thank God we can support them, we can partner with them. But do you see how it all came back to getting to know the Lord, increase our knowledge of God? Don't you think it took a lot of faith for him to leave that little church where it was maybe comfortable, and they had to scrape up the money to send him to New York? He was in his car. He didn't even have a place to stay. But God used him and started a worldwide ministry just by being obedient. That's not everyone's call, but we are all called to believe. We're all called to increase in our knowledge of God, and we are all called to love. I'll close with this. Would you turn to Romans 13, if you're still there in Romans, last verse. Romans chapter 13. God's love is the greatest love. God's love is the highest love. God's love is the purest love. God's love inspires us to live by his word. Romans chapter 13. Just verses 8 through 10, Romans 13, 8 through 10, the Bible says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Verse 9, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness or lie, you shall not covet." And if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying, namely, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. God increases what I plant and water. Would you say that with me? God increases what I plant and water. Jesus said in the days before he returns to earth that many will be deceived. Many will hate one another and betray one another. He said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Brothers and sisters, we have a high and holy calling from God to be a sharp contrast to the ways of the world. We are called to be the light of truth and love in a sin-darkened world and generation. What a great privilege, what a great responsibility. But we have to do our part. We have to plant and water by staying in close fellowship with the Lord, and we have to plant and water by building up our faith so that our faith grows and so that our love grows, and then God uses us. Now I want to close just asking you this, and I want to ask you to please think about it. We've got to be practical, right? We've got to be practical. I want to ask you, just between you and God now, in your own heart, will you plant and water fellowship with the one who is love by making some time? For you, you've got to know what works for you. For me, it's the mornings. But to have a little time set aside for God, whether it's morning, noon, or night, to make some time to seek the Lord, to increase in your knowledge of Him through prayer and worship. Will you come? Will you just make that commitment between you and the Lord right now to just say, Lord, I need your help in this. You know, my time can get away from me. I'm asking for grace. Help me. I want to give you some time every day this week. Let's just do 1 week at a time. One day, will you give God some time this week in prayer and worship? And then I want to ask you this. Will you feed your faith? Will you plant and water faith in God by giving Him some time to receive His word? If it's one verse, I want to ask you this. Will you focus on it, reflect on it, and confess it at least every day this week? And if you're not already have one in mind that you can build your faith on, may I suggest one? Romans 13:10. Every day this week, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love fulfills the law. Will you do that? Will you do that this week? Will you feed, you plant and water your faith in God? Will you plant and water fellowship with your Heavenly Father this week? And I'll say this. Remember, God is the source of all godly increase. May God greatly increase what you plant and water for His own glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we stand together as we conclude in prayer?